This is the Busted Open Podcast. You can listen to the full show weekdays from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. Eastern on Sirius XM, Byte Nation, channel 156.
Welcome to the Busted Open Podcast. This is Dave LaGreca. On today's episode, WWE Hall of Famer Bully Ray and I talk the state of WWE post-WrestleMania 35 and welcome one of the hottest wrestlers in North America today. After a tough week for WWE television and concerns about the ratings growing, can Roman Reigns on Raw this week help them rebound? Plus, we'll learn a little bit more about the journey back to prominence from one of the biggest draws in wrestling right now, Ring of Honor's PCO. You could talk about the WWE and how things have kind of been declining creatively over the last month since WrestleMania 35. Can't say the same thing for the world outside of the WWE. And Chris Jericho threw out the challenge, June 9th, Dominion, going after the IWGP Championship currently held by Okada.
Whether we're talking about Jericho challenging Okada, whether we're talking about PCO challenging Matt Taven, whether we're talking about Dustin and Cody at Double or Nothing, feels like I'm a lot more interested and invested in things that are going on outside of the WWE. And I'm not just saying that. That's the fan in me talking. Like, I just heard that clip with Jericho, and I'm laughing on the inside because he did absolutely nothing in that promo. He said nothing. He said, I'm the pain maker, and I'm going to challenge Okada, and I'm going to win. I'm going to win. He's got me invested already. Yep. And he said nothing. He didn't reinvent the wheel. He said absolutely nothing. And in saying nothing, he has me hooked. Now I want to see the Painmaker versus Rainmaker.
If you look at, and this total contrast of what we were talking about with Cody Rhodes last week in his promo about his brother in their match at Double or Nothing. I mean, Cody gave you a lot of meat to chew on that bone. Chris Jericho, complete opposite. But why are we invested? Because, first of all, you want to see Chris Jericho in the ring with Okada. First of all, it's a surprise. You didn't see it coming. And that's one of the biggest things with the WWE right now, Bully, is you see what's coming from a mile away. Because what you see coming is very close to what you saw the night before, what you saw the week before. There's nothing that makes you open up your mouth and say, wow, right now when it comes to the WWE. There's nothing that really surprises you. I mean, come on. Roman Reigns is going to be on Raw right now. That's the big thing. Well, I could see Roman Reigns every Tuesday. Is it that big of a deal to see Roman Reigns on Monday? By the way, are we that far separated from Roman Reigns being on Monday Night Raw? He was just part of Monday Night Raw a few weeks ago. Then maybe he gets moved to SmackDown. So after 2 weeks of being on SmackDown, he's returning to Raw, and that's going to make us say wow and want to tune in? Come on.
Maybe ticket sales were light for tonight. Maybe they had to do something to ramp up last-minute sales. Maybe there was nothing clicking on the Raw side to do that. So what do? Let's announce Roman on Raw. Or let's get people thinking he's going to be at Raw. I mean, there's definitely methods to their madness, but as far as sitting at home, do I have to tune into Raw tonight to see what's going to go on with Roman Reigns? No. I got to tell you, man, his real-life leukemia situation, that was must-see television. Anything after that is like, what are we going to do? See him chase for a championship? Been there, done that? Are we going to see him overcome leukemia? Well, we've been there and we've done that. Who do you have to see Roman Reigns in the ring with?
There's nobody right now. But Bully, how did, and maybe I'm reading into it too much and maybe slap me back to reality. But when Roman was going through those real life struggles and we were praying for him and we were behind him and we were talking about it on this show, I remember talking with you, Bully. God, if Roman Reigns can fight this, imagine if he could fight this and win. Imagine what's going to happen when he comes back. He's going to be the biggest babyface that we've seen since Hulk Hogan. Well, Roman Reigns is back and it seems like business as usual. What the hell happened? I mean, he had a match at WrestleMania. He had a match at WrestleMania 35 that was just like, just another match. Like, it was just like, it wasn't even the match that we were looking forward to most. This guy just fought cancer and came back. Like, how did we go from having a discussion about him being the biggest baby face in the last 25 years to business as usual? How did that happen?
Well, he came back. He was able to get better rather quickly. So if you look at it comparatively, he was out for how many months?
What, about 10 months, I think, maybe 8 to 10 months?
Was it really that long?
I have to look, but I think it was roughly that amount of time. Okay, I have to go back and look.
In real time, he was away for a blink of an eye. He was able to come back. Everybody was completely into him. Very happy to see that he was better. Very happy to see him back in the ring. And he had a good match with Drew at WrestleMania. So, okay, we got the real life comeback of Roman Reigns, and we're all happy that he was able to overcome leukemia. But that's in the past now. I bet you if Roman Reigns was away for 2 years, it would be different. I mean, absence makes the heart grow fonder. Was Roman Reigns really absent for that long?
He wasn't absent for that long. That's number one. And number two, it just seems like when he came back, they kind of just threw him into, you know, they had the half-ass Shield reunion, you know, because there was the whole feud that was going on between Seth and Dean, and they kind of just like haphazardly had them make up, and they put the Shield back together, and they threw him into kind of like, you know, a half-assed feud with Drew McIntyre for a match at WrestleMania. It just seemed very thrown together. It just, they really didn't rely on that story to present him in a way where fans are really going to get into him and make him that uber babyface they were hoping to see when he came back.
He didn't have anybody to be that uber babyface against because Drew McIntyre is not an uber heel. Nobody is an uber heel in the WWE. We don't have the type of heels in the WWE that we would all love to see. That's just not the way they go about treating their heels. WWE heels are just there to serve their purpose as foils to their baby faces, not to get true heat. You can't get true heat in the WWE anymore. It just doesn't go on.
You know what, to answer your question too, And I was completely off the mark and completely off base. He was only gone for 4 months.
There you go, man. 4 months is a snap of a finger.
Yeah.
Our hearts weren't able to grow that much fonder because he wasn't absent that long. I never expected Roman Reigns to be able to bounce back this quickly from leukemia. God bless him. Round of applause. Great job. I'm glad you're healthy. But when I originally told you, my God, Dave, when this guy comes back, he is going to be such a babyface. I thought the guy was going to be out for a while. I thought that I'm not really savvy on leukemia, but I didn't think it was something that you could bounce back as quickly as he did. He's a strong dude, and I'm happy for him. But I bet you this conversation would be a lot different if we didn't see Roman Reigns return into like the Royal Rumble in January.
And I get that, and you're right. It was for a cup of coffee that he was gone, but man, they could have really built him up in a better way.
Against who?
But you know, then here's the thing, Bully. Then why rush him to come back on TV to have him a part of WrestleMania when it's going to be a mid-card match? He's the biggest star
in the place. Come on, Dave. That's a little ignorant on your part. Rush him back?
Well, if he's the biggest star, why you have him in a mid-card match?
Who was he supposed to go against?
Well, then if you don't have anything, then why waste the opportunity?
Why would you ever turn around to your biggest star and say, oh, you're all better? You were able to kick leukemia? Thanks. Forget about WrestleMania. You can't do that.
But it's just to throw him into a match, like you're saying, because there's nobody else to put him in a match with, then build the story, Bully. You have gold there.
So have him kick, have him miss WrestleMania? the timing of this was very good for Roman because he was able to get better before WrestleMania. The timing for the WWE was good. We had that ultra feel-good moment with Roman coming back, and then he had something with Drew. Now you're saying, well, he's not this uber babyface, and he's not what he could have been. Well, he wasn't gone that long, and Drew isn't somebody that we needed to see Roman Reigns kick their ass. So whether he would have come back at WrestleMania or come back in 6 months, who is he coming back against?
The obvious one was Dean Ambrose. Keep Dean Ambrose a heel. Then, because what did Dean Ambrose do on the way out, 4 months earlier? I mean, right after the show that Roman Reigns came out and said that he was relinquishing the title and that he was stepping away because he was fighting leukemia, that same night, Dean Ambrose attacked Seth Rollins. So, you know what? Keep Dean Ambrose a heel. You're going to tell me an Ambrose-Roman Reigns match at WrestleMania is not going to be huge?
Dave, what did I say on the show a couple of months ago as to what match I wanted to see at WrestleMania?
It was that same one.
So there you go. So I'm on the same page. That's what I wanted. If Dean Ambrose is leaving or you're kicking him out or a mixture of both, whatever it is, at least keep true to the storyline that you started with. I would have had Roman versus Dean, and we wouldn't be having this conversation right now about you not giving a shit about Roman. Because he would have went up against Dean. I didn't need the feel-good Shield moment. I didn't need the feel-good house show special on the network. I understand why they did it. I would have much preferred to see Roman Reigns come back, kick Dean Ambrose's ass, because he used the leukemia as the heel turn, right?
Yes.
He mentioned the leukemia. So Roman comes back and says, how dare you make light of my disease? How dare you jump your brother, Seth Rollins? There's your story. Bring it to WrestleMania. People would have been so much more emotionally invested.
But Bully, so we're on the same page here, because that's what I mean by them dropping the ball here. By them not doing that, by not coming up with a creative way to use Roman Reigns for WrestleMania, they wasted an opportunity. They completely wasted that opportunity at WrestleMania.
Dave, how many times do we talk about them wasting what we think are great opportunities? This is not a new conversation. When you have a guy like a Roman Reigns or you have a Charlotte Flair, once you get to a certain level and you don't have the next level to work up to, you're only going to stay at that level. Nobody can give Roman Reigns the rub right now. Like, if you want to get Roman Reigns over to the next level, you got to bring back a Rock. You got to bring back a Stone Cold. And guys, this is not happening. But what I'm saying is you have to bring in bigger stars than the star you have now. So who can you possibly bring in? Let's just take Goldberg, because I know his name has been thrown around.
Well, because he's going to be in Saudi. So, for all intents and purposes, he's going to be back with the company, at least for that one show.
Okay. Who is a bigger star, Roman Reigns or Goldberg?
Goldberg.
So does Roman Reigns versus Goldberg do anything for you?
No, not really.
I'd actually like to see Roman. I'd like to see the spear versus the spear.
Okay. See, now you see what you're doing, Bully? Is what you're doing is that I'm kind of cold on it, but now you're warming it up to it to me because you're giving me reasons too. Creatively, just with one sentence, you're warming me up the idea of Goldberg and Roman Reigns being in the ring together.
And by Roman working with Goldberg, now Roman is working with somebody that is a perceived bigger star, which brings Roman up a little bit more.
Well, I'm just going to go from Roman Reigns' words and his tweet, because he tweeted about the fact that he's going to be, on Monday Night Raw tonight. And, WWE denied it. Then he said, have my music ready. He has unfinished business. So the only thing that I can think of, Bully, when it comes to, I'm just judging from his words, the only thing that's unfinished business to me is that WWE Universal Championship. Because what other unfinished business does Roman Reigns have with Monday Night Raw right now? There's no superstar, really. I mean, There's nothing really that I can look at on that's taking place on Monday Night Raw that he has any business in other than the Universal Championship, because he had to let that championship go when he left the show.
And didn't he make one like little snide comment to Seth when he first came back about that championship? Didn't he say something to Seth like an unfinished business type line?
Interesting.
Because I remember sitting back and go, oh, well, looks like they're going back here again.
Interesting. Maybe he did. Well, we're giving people a reason to tune in to watch Monday Night Raw, because Roman Reigns is starting off.
Like what you're hearing? Catch Busted Open live weekdays from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. Eastern on SiriusXM Fight Nation, channel 156, or on demand with the SiriusXM app.
One half of your new NWA Tag Team Champions, and that's PCO, joins us here on Busted Open. How are you today?
I am fantastic. What about you guys?
We're a little shell-shocked, but we're really looking forward to talking to you today, PCO.
This is great. This is great. Looking forward to work, too.
Well, I mentioned
PCO. Have you done anything today as crazy as you did last? Did you drive a truck over you today? Did you jump off a building today? Did you rip an arm off today and still do 315 behind the neck? I mean, what has PCO done today so far?
I've done a few things, and it's going to be shown tonight. You know, on my every Monday night PCO and Death Row. So you'll be able to witness that all tonight, but it's been pretty crazy. You know, it's been a good morning, so I'm in great shape right now.
Well, I mean, you talk about great shape, and we talked about this because at the first StarCast, Bully and I spoke to you just before All In, and we just talked about how you've been able to rejuvenate your career, and it was building a lot of momentum back then. You're a building buzz. But, man, the last 6 to 7 months have just been incredible for you. I mean, did you think you would hit this type of popularity? Did you think you would get the type of reaction you're getting right now?
Well, when I spoke with you guys, when I did the show with you at All In last year or a few months ago, like way back, you knew that my goals were high. So, you know, I have to say yes, because I was aiming high, and my goal was to create even a bigger buzz than it was last year. And last year I was at the beginning of starting everything, and yeah, it was part of the plan. I didn't know it was gonna work out like it did work out. I didn't know how I was gonna achieve it, but that was the mindset that I had when I spoke with you guys last year.
PCO, before you came on today, me and Dave were talking, and I'm sure you've heard this question asked for you, to you before. You're the fan base, the Ring of Honor fan base, wrestling fans all over the world are so into you right now and your comeback story at 51 years old, being out there and going able to win championship and main event shows and just tear the house down. But you've been doing it by putting your body on the line. And at 51 years old, it's got to take its toll on you. So my question is this, man. Is what you're doing now, isn't your biggest blessing also possibly the biggest curse for you?
No, I don't think so. Honestly, to be very honest with you, I don't think I feel that. I mean, I've never felt like that I was injured or anything like that, or that I was putting my life on the line or this was going to jeopardize my future as a human being, or I'm not a human being and not human being, but that was going to jeopardize my life in any way, shape, or form. I really feel at ease, and that's very, very honestly. I really feel at ease what I'm doing in the ring. I mean, I don't say that sometimes maybe I'm not going to hit myself a little bit in the wrong way or anything, but I would say 95 or 98% of the time I feel good with what I'm doing. It's part of the style, you know. I'm so glad that I could find something that was part of myself, that I was looking for something like that, for a character that would be myself on a larger scale in pro wrestling, that was just a part of myself, that was who I am, my identity, my personality on a larger scale for pro wrestling. And I found it, and then it gels together with everything because it's who I am. And that's the thing that I always say, that's what I love the most about ROH. It's creative, is working hand in hand with talent, not forcing them and doing something that they don't feel comfortable doing or they're not their self doing it. And I think that's one of the most important thing to make this company so successful.
And you talk about Ring of Honor, and on Thursday night you're going after that Ring of Honor heavyweight championship held by Matt Taven. And, you know, we're going to get into the Crockett Cup and you as a tag champion, but that ROH championship will look good, pretty good around your waist, PCO.
Yeah, and it would it'd be awesome. Like, this would be like really a dream come true. It would be a long life working achievement, you know, since I was 14 years old, that I wanted to become the world champion and to wear that world championship belt. We had fun about that, me and Bully, about saying belts, which was like cool. But no, nonetheless, this would be amazing. That would be a dream come true. Really, really. I mean, it's something that I'm really looking forward to.
PCO, you performed. You're one half of a tag team, WWE tag team champions. You performed in Madison Square Garden at WrestleMania 10. What was it like for you to be back in Madison Square Garden for the G1 Supercard? Did you ever think you would be able to make it back there?
I really didn't think it would happen like that. That was very something that when the date came out after All In, I found out that ROH and New Japan were going to be at the Garden together, and I promised myself I wanted to be part of that show, but you know, I had no control over it other than thinking about it. But in my wildest dream, I never thought I would go back there if I didn't know that one date was circled around my calendar. And it was amazing. It was nothing compared to my first time. I mean, the first time, you know, WrestleMania is something pretty cool to do, and especially when it's your first one ever in your life. But I've got to say that this one really by far topped my WrestleMania moment, because the way that everything is going since I've signed with ROH, it's a different buzz, it's a different, everything is so different. And for me, it's the best time of my life, the best time of my career. And being able to go back at this time of my career, this was absolutely unbelievable. It's something that I never thought it would be like that. It was like, it was really, really crazy.
You know, Bully mentioned that G1 Supercard at the Garden. And I think the biggest moment on that show that really got the crowd riled up is after you took that powerbomb outside the ring and you sat up. That place went nuts. I mean, how does it feel to have the entire crowd, a sold-out Madison Square Garden, behind you enough that when you sit up, the place goes that insane?
It's hard to describe a moment like that, because I think while you're doing it, you can't even feel the fact that you have the whole crowd gelling with you. You're just doing your thing, enjoying what you're doing, and you're so much in the moment yourself that you forget about everything else. You only realize that once you're leaving the building, or once you come back in the dressing room and you start feeling just happen. And sometimes it takes like even like a couple of days to realize that everything that went down. So it's something that knowing that, you know, the Garden's the world, the most famous arena in the world, and knowing that, you know, beating the 8-man tag and all the titles on the line and things like that, you want every moment to count, and I just wanted to make sure that I was going to go back home with a special moment in my pocket, and that's what I wanted to do, and I'm very glad that I took that chance, that I gambled on this thing. I gambled a lot, and it paid off, and I'm happy that I took that chance.
PCO, you're obviously in a world of wrestling now that is a completely different generation from when you originally came up and when you found early success in your career. Have any of your friends or any of the boys that you traveled the roads with from back of the day gotten in touch with you to congratulate you on your newfound success?
A lot of the boys, because when I started that run, and I was already like mixing up with a lot of guys, and I think when I first started and doing this, there was a lot of people saying that, even in my family, I'm gonna say, even though I love them, that I love them and they love me, and but they thought that I was totally out of my mind when I told them that I was gonna quit everything in my life and just concentrate full time on this business. And you know, when I don't know if I told you the story, guys, but when I went to New Orleans the first time for my match against Walter, GCW said, you know, we really want you on the show. We're gonna put you with big guy from Austria, Big Walter, but you know, we can't really fly you there. And I told them, it's all right, I will drive. And I didn't know how far it was going to be, but when I drove 40 hours to get there, 40 hours to get back for a 25-minute match, you know, everybody thought I was pretty crazy to do that, and it paid off. And then I think during my whole career, I took chances. I quit jobs. I focused on the business by itself. You know, I had like jobs where I could have it made, but I was not going to be happy because I wanted to achieve what my goal was when I was a kid. And I felt like if I was not going to achieve that, I was not going to live happily, or, you know, so I always like burned my ships. And, when I started to do that, my family again said, oh, no, he's doing it again. And they were all discouraged. And some of the boys thought that I was crazy. But now that success is there, I have a lot of people saying, you know, this is great. And then a lot of encouragement and tapping the back and things like that. So it's everything. Yeah, sometimes I would cross, like, let's say, Ray Rougeau, who does still the voiceovers for WWE at the airport in Montreal. Sometimes we see each other, and he would always like say, "Man, this is great. What's happening?" and things like that. But at the beginning, nobody weren't sure. They weren't sure if what I was doing and getting in onto was gonna be successful or not. So it's pretty cool.
You know, Bully asked you about, like, the generation that you were with when you first came up and their reaction to your comeback. What's the generation now like about you? I mean, you know, this is a completely different locker room. You know, this is a completely different company. How do you think the younger wrestlers are reacting to you right now?
I really don't know. I think I'm the one who react like a rookie, like a young guy. I'm trying to learn from them and trying to watch them and see what's working and what's not working. And I think that the big thing about this business, it's living with changes, you know, with the evolution of the business. Like I said it to a lot of people, a lot of things are changing in this business, but one thing that will never change is the ability to tell a story. And this is one thing that will never change. But in order to tell a story now, you know that, you know, if you don't accept the changes that are happening in the business, you can't progress. In order to progress, you have to change and to adapt to the changes. And most of the time, I'm listening to the younger generation and melting with them. And if sometimes I see an opportunity to put my two cents in, I will. But I've been like picking up on brains like Bully Ray. He's got a great mind for this business. There's a bunch of other guys behind the scenes that are incredible with ideas. And for me, it's a team effort. I'm trying to get as much from everybody. It's like a big mastermind association that if I can incorporate any knowledge from anyone who's not knowledgeable, I'm trying to do it in order to be successful. I'm trying to really put all the brains and all the elements possible in order to have the best advices and in order to be able to be successful. And that's one thing that I'm not trying to impose my veteran years or my past, because my old past doesn't really compare with what's done right now in the business. So it's kind of half and half. Sometimes boys will ask me things. They will ask me what I think about things. I will give them my thoughts, but I don't try to push in hard all my ideas in one thing. I'm really receptive. I try to, you know, to get as much as I can get from them and give a little back. That's how it goes.
PCO, you just mentioned the words team effort, and in the past you've shown that you can be part of a successful team. What is your relationship with Brody and Marty? Because it seems like you guys have been gelling really well as a tag team and as a six-man team.
Yeah, absolutely. When I first met with Ring of Honor and they discussed the idea of this faction of Villain Enterprises, when they mentioned Marty Scurll and Brody King, I knew I had a great feeling about it, because I met Marty in 2008 while I was touring in England. I was there for like 6 or 8 months, and Marty was like almost just breaking in the business. You know, he hadn't been there for a long time, and he was like always with Nick Aldis, and they both were working with the same company that I was working for, All Star Wrestling in England. And every time I had a match with Nick, or that Nick and Marty were there, I was always like very, very cool. I really liked those guys. So, and then eventually I saw Marty was having success in Ring of Honor, and it was a total different Marty when I was there in 2008. He didn't have like a beard. He looked like a kid. You know, he was really young. And they were about to get in the States to do a camp with Harley Race. So I watched his evolution. And then when sometimes you do things and you think it's going to be down the drain, like I was thinking when I was quitting a job and a voiceover job, getting paid by a TV station in Montreal to go in England and try to catch a break in the business, a bigger break and a big break. And then I came back with nothing from England, basically. I thought everything was down the drain, you know. I didn't think it was going to, none of that would have served me later on in my life or would have helped me out later on in my life. And in 2018, about when I met you guys, I was doing all the indies, and I probably worked against Goody King maybe 6 or 7 times during the whole year. So I knew him pretty well. And I knew him as a human being, as a person, how I could get along with him and how cool he was. So, and then that Marty came back after 2008, in 2019 or end of 2018, that was pretty sick. So being able to be, I knew right then that the three of us, the chemistry would be already there because I knew Marty from before and I always got along good with him. And working matches against Brody King, I knew how talented he was and how great he was as a person. So just knowing that the three of us, I knew everything would gel perfectly. That's good. It was like, yes, I want to be part of that big time. So.
And now you're gelling perfectly with Brody King to the point of you're the new NWA Tag Team Champions. I mean, a great event. You know, a week ago with the Crockett Cup, we talked about it a lot here on Busted Open, and you know, a lot of history with the Crockett Cup, but you know, also moving forward. And what was it like winning those titles? What was it like being involved in the Crockett Cup last Saturday?
Man, it was unbelievable. I really didn't know what to expect on my way there to Concord, North Carolina. And just going match after match after match, we had like to win 3 matches or go through 3 matches in order to get the Crockett Cup. And I remember Brody King was looking at the bracket. Man, that's a lot of work to get all the way to the top. And I said, man, if we do this, you're going to be so happy about that because that's going to stay there for the rest of your life. And I don't think at first he realized how cool it was. But once we got the cup, he said, man, you were right. It's so cool. He said, it reminds me, like, he really liked the cup, but he likes also everything that's going on in Japan. And so that reminds me of those big cup when they win a tournament in Japan. So he was really happy. And then to see him happy like that, that made me really happy. And for myself, I was happy too because, like, you know, for me being there for a longer time than everybody, I can really cherish every moment, every important moment of the career. I know how good it feels, even looking back at things, you know. So I made sure that I made every second count, you know, while I was there and enjoying every moment of this. And I couldn't have done it with a better person than Brody King, a better worker, a better hard worker, someone who gives his all best every time he steps in. And he was so happy that we've done it and we did it. And so we were both like just in a frenzy.
PCO, do you appreciate the wrestling business more today than you did 20 years ago?
Absolutely.
Why?
Absolutely. Because I realize, like, the chances I've got to get up every morning, to get up every morning and to work towards, like, my next tour, my next match, and every time that I'm having my, you know, we got those carry-ons with the wheels, and then I'm wheeling my carry-on at the airport, and that's, thanks God, man, this is the most, I'm so grateful because I get to do what I love every day, and walking at the airport with my carry-ons, I feel like I've got this joy coming down to me and saying, you know, it's pretty unbelievable to live your dream.
It sounds like it's really emotional for you that at this stage of the career you were able to make the dream happen all over again.
Yeah. Yeah. And, sometimes, like, people that know me very closely in the business, you know, they say they were at the garden or something, and they say, okay, I saw you coming down the aisle, and I saw that little smile on your face, and I knew, you know. So that those little things, they make me want to give more, surpass myself, give everything I've got, put my whole heart into it. That's the way I feel.
Well, I think you're proving yourself day in and day out. And you know, I hear you getting emotional. You're not human. You're not supposed to be emotional, PCO.
I know I'm not human.
PCO, amazing interview, amazing sit down. Thank you so much for the time and congratulations on all your success. And then hearing from you that you know, you're evolving your personality, your character, you know, understanding that the business has evolved and you, you know, changing with it and changing in the right way and the fans are 100% behind you. I can't wait what the future holds for you, sir. It's been amazing talking
also,
to you today.
You know, you have to take in consideration that, you know, guys like you, David, and Bully Ray, that are, you know, having shows like unbelievable shows, you know, like this. It's all, it's not just the boys doing it in the ring. It's also the whole business. It's everybody that's so talented around everything that we do in the ring. We need everybody. We need all kinds of things that helps promotes everything. And guys, thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to be on the show with you today. This was a great an honor for me, and I appreciate it.
Thanks for coming on, brother. We appreciate you.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you, PCO. Wow. Pretty awesome interview with PCO today, Bully.
I agree. And to hear him get emotional at the end, wow. You can tell that that is a guy who knows that he was given a second opportunity in a business that doesn't deal second opportunities to a lot of people. And if you're a young wrestler listening today, that what he talked about, did he say he drove 40 hours for his match against Walter?
Yes, he did.
40 hours to the match. 40 hours home from the match. A match that lasted 25 minutes. You're never done paying your dues in the wrestling industry. And he understood that. He was willing to pay his dues all over again. I believe he was a 3-time WWE Tag Team Champion. Wrestled at WrestleMania in Madison Square Garden. Been there and done that. But realized that if he didn't pay his dues all over again on that given night, he might not have the opportunities that he did. And that match against Walter put him back on the map. And I think a lot of young wrestlers, especially when we throw around the word entitlement, okay? There's a lot of entitlement in the world, and there's a lot of entitlement in the world of pro wrestling. That is a veteran who spent 80 hours in a car for a 25-minute match, and that 25-minute match put him back on the map.
Think about that. And this is coming off the heels and a big topic on our show and a big topic in the world of pro wrestling last week was Lio Rush and some of the comments that he said in an interview and some of the comments that he made on social media, Bully. And, you know, you could waver back and forth who's right, who's wrong. Is it disrespect, you know, and everything else. But then you hear this interview from PCO, guy who's been there, done that. A guy who has performed in front of a sold-out Madison Square Garden and kind of falling back down and working his way back up. I mean, he could walk into a locker room. He could have walked into the locker room at Madison Square Garden, Bully, and said, you know what, I've worked a sold-out Madison Square Garden before, but he didn't. Like, and to hear the stories about driving that many hours to get another opportunity kind of puts things into perspective for me as a fan and also as somebody who hosts this show.
And I don't think a lot of fans realize what some wrestlers go through just to get that opportunity. And we kind of assume that that's what young wrestlers do. Back in the day, you drove from city to city, not knowing what you'd get out of it, just for the opportunity. And to hear that PCO did it so late in his career, I mean, he's 51 now, so he was probably, what, 46, 47
yeah.
when he drove? You know, you're 47 years old. That's how old I am. So let me put the gun to my own head. Would I drive 40 hours for another opportunity in the wrestling business? I don't know. I haven't walked in that man's shoes. I thank God I haven't walked in that man's shoes, because that man has experienced a lot of disappointment in the wrestling industry. I was fortunate to not have that disappointment. So, Bubba, what would you do if things went wrong? Would you drive 40 hours for a 25-minute match? And, Dave, I can't answer that question. I don't know what it's like to have that emotion that PCO had running through him.
It's a great point, Bully. And you don't know unless you're in that situation. And I mean, I don't mean to sound like a Rocky movie, but the old cliche is that you know the measure of a man, how he reacts to being knocked down. Can he get back up again? I think PCO has proved that after getting knocked down, he was able to get back up again.
And with a guy like him, how can you not be happy for him, you know? I'm not going to make light of this, but I'm going to say it. The freaking guy cried on our show.
Yeah.
And why did he cry? He didn't cry because he's a puss. He cried because he knows, as he's talking about his story, how fortunate he is. And this business can be really harsh. And he knows that because the business was really harsh to him. And he was probably harsh back to the business. And I'm sure that if he can go back in time and fix a couple of things, he would. That's why you hear that emotion. That's why you know that you heard him getting choked up. That's why you know that there was a tear coming down that fake eye.
Yeah.
Because the business gave him an opportunity that it normally never, a second opportunity that it normally doesn't give to people.
Thanks for listening. Catch us weekdays on Busted Open from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. Eastern on SiriusXM. Fight Nation Channel 156. The Busted Open Podcast.